podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. First one back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead the pen, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Hey, podcast patrons, it's Dan. Sorry to interrupt this episode, but just wanted to make you aware that we are now being sponsored by Canmore Sports. You've seen it in our Instagram stories, you've seen it in our posts and our reels, and you've heard it right here on Leave the Pin Podcast. Canmore Sports does golf GPS to perfection, whether it be the watches, the handheld devices, anything you need, they've got. Know your exact distances, increase your greens and regulations, decrease your putts, and look like a damn better golfer out there doing it. Go to our Instagram page, at Leave the Pin, and check out the link to save 15% off all Canmore Sports products. While you're at it, leave us a rating and a comment on iTunes. Help us grow so we can serve you, the people. Now back to our episode. Welcome back, podcast patrons, to another episode of Leave the Pin Podcast. Little bit of a different episode today. We are starting our My Course series. Many of you may have seen we put it up on Instagram, and we just want to hear from listeners, followers, people across the country, across the world, if you will, what their favorite course is, why. Maybe it's their hometown course, maybe it's a course they've traveled to, but someone that has a little bit more in-depth knowledge of the course than myself. I think it'd be a real cool way to get information out to people. And to show you how much golf is out there and how different the golf is across the country. So today my guest is Austin Atkins. You can find him on Instagram at Austin. What is it? College Street Glass?
College Street Glass. Yeah, yep. Man. Dan, I am stoked to be here. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Of course. Of course. And so Austin reached out and told me about Wild Horse Golf Club in Gothenburg, Nebraska. So Austin, I gotta ask you first off, let's kind of set the stage for people. What's your golfing background like?
Well, I was fortunate enough that my dad put a club in my hands pretty early. So I had the golf swing down. Didn't play like a ton of competitive golf. It was pretty leisure. And then I played sports and stuff through high school, never played high school golf or anything, was a big musician. So really what got me back into golf and the recent resurgence was getting together with my wife. Her family golfs, and her dad and her uncle were just waxing me on the golf course. And I'm talking, they were hitting it about 190, 200 yards off the tee and absolutely waxing me. And so I couldn't have that much longer, and got hooked pretty quick just because of my competitiveness. And that's it. I've been just a golf nut for about 6 years, maybe a little longer. And so now I'm at a local club here in Springfield, Mo, and about a 6 handicap. And yeah, just a golf nut like a lot of the listeners are, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I resonate with that so much. I feel like so many people get the golf bug, and then their competitive juices either are stoked by playing golf, or they've never left, and they just become, in a very healthy way, addicted to it.
Yeah, addiction's a good word.
So you're 6 handicaps, so you're a stick. I mean, you could play anywhere in the world. You know, I see you on Instagram, some of your guitar playing. What's your guitar handicap?
Now, the guitar handicap, I always tell people when I'm playing with them, I said, you think I'm decent at golf, you should see me play guitar. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I've been playing guitar very seriously for close to 20 years now, and I've done it all, man. I started with like punk rock and metal and stuff like that. And
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've slowly transitioned through my years into like blues and jazz and soul and R&B. And so that's kind of what I'm into now. But I can take the guitar for a walk. That's for sure.
So, I mean, this deviates obviously from the episode a little bit, but I'm an enormous music fan. I sang in a very short-lived band in high school and college, a punk hardcore band. Nice. But who are some of your favorites guitarists out there now? Or I mean, it don't have to be now, obviously it can be, you know, people from the past as well.
I mean, just to name a few, you know, I love Stevie Ray. He's, you know, he's a guitar god.
Sure, classic.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong there. He's probably, in my opinion, the best to ever play. And then his brother Jimmy is an amazing player, a lot different. I really love Robert Cray, Robin Ford, just a lot of the electric blues players. So,
very cool, very cool. All right, so let's talk about Wild Horse. When you had mentioned it first to me, it just, for whatever reason, it didn't click. And then I did a little research, so I don't sound like an idiot on the pod like I do most of the time. And I looked it up, and I was like, okay, I remember this one. You know, won all sorts of accolades and awards. Best new course in Nebraska. Best new course in the, you know, Midwest. This place is insane, dude. But
yeah.
I put on the Google map, right? Because it's hilarious. It sits in this valley between, like, North Platte, Nebraska, and Lincoln, in the middle of I-80 out there. And it's just, is it really just cornfields and farms as far as you can see?
It is. I mean, there is nothing. If you get off that highway, there is nothing out there. It is wild. It's like a barren wasteland. And yeah, it's just all farming and really small town communities. And really, until you get to the actual golf course, you're not really in the sandhills, because the Wild Horse Golf Club sits kind of on the edge of where the sandhills actually start. So you're kind of confused as to, like, am I in the sandhills yet? I mean, everything is so flat. You can see for miles. And yeah, then once you get to the club, you start to see some of the sand and the big dunes, if you will, out there. So yeah, it was weird traveling in there, just nothing.
So it's crazy to me because I-80 runs through my backyard. You know, I take I-80 to work in the morning.
Huh.
So to think that I could take it from, I mean, literally 10 minutes from my house out to there is just insane. Now, I want to touch on something real quick. You mentioned the sand hills of Nebraska. You know, I heard of them. I know that they reach all the way up north to Sand Valley, which I'm pretty sure is north of Sand Hills. I mean, of Wild Horse, excuse me. And I do mean Sand Hills, not Sand Valley, which is in Wisconsin. Have you been to the Pinehurst region? Have you been to the Sand Hill region? Like, are they very similar? Or are they just, you know, like, I imagine big expansive dunes out in Nebraska.
So, you know, I'm from the Ozarks, so I experience a lot of pretty soft and elevated stuff.
Right.
Just a lot of precipitation, a lot of soft. I've never been out to Pinehurst. I've never been to, like, a sandy soil golf course. So this was my first time stepping onto, I guess, a Lynx-style turf. And it was like stepping on to, like, the surface of the moon. I mean, it was crazy. I was taking my lob wedge out and, like, trying to take divots and couldn't. I was just bouncing off the ground, and I'd never experienced that before. So it was wild.
Okay, so it does sound very much like, you know, the Pinehurst region would be. I, you know, one thing I should have looked up and I didn't, I wonder what the, you don't happen to know what the elevation in Nebraska is around there, do you? That's probably something someone can look up.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not that big of a deal.
I do not know.
So with it being such different turf conditions out there, and I, you know, I looked at the course map online, I looked at the layout online. It looks insane. It looks completely wide open. So I got a few questions about the playability out there. First off, how is the range?
The range is super basic. I mean, there is a range, and it's not very long or big, which I don't think, you know, they really need that big of a range. It's all about the course out there. So nothing special there, but it does exist. So there's that.
Okay. Is it, I'm assuming it's grass, so you can kind of get a feel of those conditions?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a grass range.
So how long did it take you to kind of get the feel of the turf out there compared to what you're used to at home?
I mean, I guess it didn't take too long. We went there pretty early, and we actually went in October. So it was like at the very end of their golf season out there. So it was cold that morning. You know, we had just woke up, went straight to the course. We had all our layers on, our thermals. So it was kind of a tough warm up, but you know, like I said, I took my lob wedge out immediately and was just trying to hit chips off of this turf I had never experienced before. And after, you know, 10, 20 shots, I was, you know, clipping the wedges nicely, and it didn't take too long, but it is a lot different than what I'm used to, that's for sure.
Did you get a lot of wind out there? You know, I don't know what the wind is. I'm assuming like most places it shifts in the wintertime. Nebraska, so, you know, to me, Nebraska is like, it's another world, you know,
yeah, it's
like
flat,
it's
flat and windy, extremely windy. And that's all I really knew about it, was that it was a Lynx course, and in Nebraska, the wind really blows. So originally we had planned to just play 36 holes there on day one and then go check out something else. Day one, we had no wind at all. It was like an anomaly. The golf course employees were like, yeah, this is pretty not normal. So we played 36 that day under anywhere between 0 to 5 mile an hour winds, which was just crazy. And then day two comes around, we were thinking about going to another course, and the wind was up to like 30 to 40 miles an hour on day two. So we were like, we can't go somewhere else. We have to go back to Wild Horse, play another 36, and experience this course kind of the way it's meant to be played, you know, with the wind absolutely howling. So we got the best of both worlds there as far as the wind.
Okay, now you say we. So was this a buddy's trip out there? Was this a family trip?
So me and my drummer, actually, just the two of us went up there and just had a time, played a couple of matches, 4 matches, I guess.
Sick. And so did you stay on site or did you stay in lodging like in town? How's that work out there at the course? Because it's in the middle of nowhere.
It is in the middle of nowhere. And, the you know, Gothenburg's in the middle of nowhere, but then the golf course is 10 minutes from Gothenburg. And so it's literally out and it's just surrounded by corn. So there is lodging at the golf facility, but we stayed at a little Airbnb in Gothenburg. Really nice little quiet neighborhood. The Airbnb was great. I mean, it's really affordable. That's the best part about this place, I would say, is how affordable it is.
I'll skip ahead, and I don't know if you looked this up, you know, in some of the questions I sent you, but a yearly membership to this course, which literally, you know, I think for most people, if they played it, they'd probably put it right away into the top 10 courses they've ever played. Like, that's how amazing it looks. But yeah. a single membership is $525 and then $28 of sales tax for a total of $553 for the year.
It's a joke, man. It is a joke. I paid twice that at the course I'm at, and it is nowhere near the golf course that Wild Horse is.
Now, I understand, like, no one lives out there, but to me, being a diehard golfer, I look at a place like this, and I go, like, I think I could play Wild Horse for the rest of my life, especially with all the wind that you mentioned and no 2 days kind of being the same. Yeah. And this seems like quite possibly the greatest steal in all of golf currently.
I would say it's up there. I mean, it's a really good, really good price point for what you're getting out there. And you know, the way they built it with a lot of local help, you know, and very minimal, you know, they didn't bring big excavators out there. It's pretty, you know, what you see is what you get. They just laid some grass down and planted some greens. And I mean, a lot of local help, like I said. So they built it cheap and they maintain it pretty cheap. And I mean, you know, they pass that off onto the people that live there locally. They have it the best. You know, a lot of the people that live there don't realize like what they actually have in their backyard.
Sure, they just figure, like, oh, man, this is our course. Yeah, this is just what we play. But they haven't had the experience of seeing, you know, like, what most local munis are in most people's minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Family membership, husband, wife, and children who are still in school or college, $664. College student, $221. High school student, $110 for the year.
It's a joke, dude.
It is. So like, I seriously, I'm
I'm laughing here, but I'm also very upset that I don't live closer to this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at that absolutely price, I'm reconsidering. Insane. Maybe I should make two trips up a year and that pay for my membership, you know?
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you. In October, I'm assuming that's their off season or maybe shoulder season ish.
Yeah.
What did you end up paying per round? What was it costing at that time of year?
I honestly don't remember. I believe it was around 40, 50 bucks to walk, and that was on the weekend.
Oh, so still super reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say this is probably the best course for walking that I've ever played. I mean, the routing from green to tee is just so dialed. I mean, you were just in the... They make it so convenient for walking. It's not as convenient if you're taking a car, but for walking, they make all these little dirt paths that kind of shortcut you to the next tee. And if you're big into walking, this is the club.
I absolutely love that. I mean, there's nothing better. I don't really like taking carts unless I'm forced to. I'd rather experience the course walking, and like for me, a push cart where I can just like push it and let it go. And this course does look like it fits that mold.
It does perfectly.
So you played 2 days there, four rounds. I think that probably puts you on par of being a real good authority at this place. What did you get as far as like the general overall vibe? I'm assuming it wasn't stuffy. I'm assuming it's kind of laid back, but what were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the moment we walked in the pro shop, everyone's super nice. Any of the locals we met out on the course probably put them up as in some of the nicest people I've ever met. I mean, the employees were great. The locals were great. It's a really modest setup. I mean, the clubhouse isn't like big and flashy. Their practice facilities aren't big and flashy. I mean, it's just really laid back, super chill, very welcoming. I'm sure they love to see out-of-towners come in and experience their golf course because they know, at least the employees, they know that what they have is, like, extremely special, so.
Right, right. So you're in Southern Missouri. What's that take you to get up there, time-wise?
It was pretty close to 10 hours driving.
All right, and did you do any stops along the way for golf, or was that all the golf in the trip there at Wild Horse?
We didn't stop on the way up. We just wanted to get there. We got there right at sunset. So, you know, we ate and went to sleep pretty early and experienced the course. But then on the way back, we actually went through, kind of took a detour through Wichita, Kansas, and stopped and played some golf in there and stayed the night. So very that was cool. The only other golf we played on the trip.
What's like the, I know they have lodging and it looks very Spartan. I mean, it looks very comfortable. But obviously if you go to a place like this, you go to a place like Bandon, Stream Song, you're really going for the golf and the golf only. So you only need those rooms to sleep in. But what was the food there like on site? Did you eat at the course at all?
I think I probably had a pork missile, at one point, but that was all I ate. They do have a bunch of beers on tap, which was kind of right up my alley. So okay. I enjoyed some beverages, but I don't think they have like a big flashy grill either. They do definitely have a grill and they make some food, but it's nothing like, you know, real crazy.
Yeah. The golf course is the star of the show.
Absolutely. 100%.
And so in October, like, you know, give me a feel of it out there. Was it busy? I mean, did you have a set tee time? Like how did that all work? How did the trip planning work? Do they offer packages?
So I just kind of, I don't know. I honestly made kind of a mistake picking October to go out there because you can't book your tee time till a week out. But of course I booked my Airbnb 3, 4, 5 months in advance. And leading up to the trip, of course I was checking weather in Gothenburg and it was freezing and snowing for like 2 weeks leading up to this trip. I was like, what are we gonna do? This place potentially is closed, you know, because of freezing temperatures. And then a week out and the forecast absolutely just brightens up for us. It was like 50, 60 and sunny both days we were there. I don't, I mean, just an absolute gift from the golf gods for us, because it, the weather was crap the entire month leading up to this trip. And then all of a sudden, the end of October, it brightened up for us and we got to experience some of the best stuff out there. So there was not a lot of people out there. We were some of the only people. I mean, of course, there was a bunch of locals out there because end of the golf season, they've tried to get their golf in before they shut it down. I believe they shut it down in the first week of November. So right after we left, they shut the course down for the year.
Okay, yeah, I see that it's closed now. They've got a like a banner on their website. It says, attention, Wild Horse is closed for the season. We look forward to seeing everyone in March of 2023. So, you know, honestly, that's it's very much like my season here in Northeast PA. You know, the my little nine-hole privately owned muni, whatever you want to call it, goat track, you know, they stay open with an honor box. But all the real courses close by Thanksgiving and then open up, hopefully, if snow's gone, by March. So they kind of have the same season that I do.
Yeah. I mean, they're for me, it seems like they're pretty far north. So they definitely experience winter a lot differently than we do down here in Southeast Mo.
Now, you guys can play. Yeah, actually, if you look whatchamacallit? Latitudinally, they're the same. I mean, they're almost on par with us. Like I said, it is straight out 80, so that doesn't deviate much from the middle of the country. Out of curiosity, Missouri, you're playing year-round?
For the most part. I mean, January, February can be tough, but, I mean, I don't remember in the last 6 years. I don't remember a month, you know, January, February, where I didn't at least play once, so... Yeah, it's year round, especially for the sickos.
Nice. Now, are you a guy when you go to courses? Do you like to pick up some sort of merchandise from places that you go to?
It's not necessary for me. I mean, I do like you know, if something grabs my eye, I'll pick it up. But I did leave with a hoodie, but that was it. You know, it was nothing. I didn't have to have anything.
Okay. How was there? Pro shop and like the merch they have there.
In October it was pretty slim pickings. Just assuming very end of the year, probably ordering new stuff. I'm just assuming, that's a total assumption. But it was pretty slim pickings when we were there. I imagine that's different during their peak season.
Did you get to talk with anyone that worked there about how, like, maybe the middle of the summer compared to, you know, what you were seeing out on the course in terms of people in October?
Not in terms of people, but I heard a lot, you know, just about how the course plays. You know, they describe the greens as concrete in peak season.
Okay.
Where, you know, balls are just bouncing, you know, a foot off the ground after hitting the green. That's the only thing, is, you know, as far as peak season that I heard the differences on.
All right, before we get into the course itself, are there any extra amenities the club has? I know they have the lodging, you said they have a range, and then obviously the 18 holes. Is there anything else for people staying on site?
The putting green is pretty sweet. It's like a 360 putting green. In the middle is like bunch of native grass, prairie grass. So the putting green is pretty spectacular. Other than that, you know, the lodging is good. I mean, I guess it's cool you get to stay on site. You're so far out of Gothenburg that it doesn't really make sense to stay there unless you want to cook your own meals and stuff. You're pretty far removed from civilization out at Wild Horse.
Okay. And what's, you guys said you were in Gothenburg. I mean, I'm assuming it's a small town. I mean, this might sound like a idiotic question, but do they have like restaurants and a food store out there?
They do. Yeah, no. Gothenburg is pretty cool. They got a couple of restaurants. I'm seeing here the population out there is like close to 600,000 people.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, so
holy cow,
it's a good sized town. I mean, yeah, considering you're out in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, hell, where I'm from here, I'd consider that a city.
Whoa, wait a second, that might be Sweden. Let me go to Nebraska. Because I do know it was at Gothenburg, Sweden. Here we go. 3,500 people in Gothenburg, Nebraska.
Hey, I was all aboard, dude. Hey, I was all in on it, man.
Pretty far off on that one.
All right, so 3,500. That's kind of small, but honestly, that's like the size of the town that I live in. So, you know, I kind of get the idea, get the vibe. You know, I've got like two food stores. Although here's something crazy. I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the pod, the ShopRite. You guys have ShopRite in Missouri?
We don't.
Okay, so ShopRite is a big food store. It's like Publix or Lowe's or Kroger. Is that Kroger land out by you?
No, we don't have any of that stuff. We got Hy-Vee.
Okay. All right. So we have ShopRite, and we have in our town, it is by square footage, the world's largest ShopRite.
Right.
That's
on.
Claim to fame, I guess. So it would be like, you know, the world's largest Hy-Vee, if you will. All right, so I kind of get an idea of this size. So a few restaurants, food store, gas stations, stuff like that, convenience stores.
Yep, one or two restaurants, one or two gas stations. Pretty small town vibe.
All right, so the course itself now. What tees did you guys decide to play from? And did you mix that up during the trip at all?
Oh, yeah, we mixed it up. We got out there and played. So I guess they have a forward, a middle, and a back tee. And then they do like this hybrid situation on the scorecard where you're playing some of the middle tees, you're playing some of the forward tees. So I think we played the hybrid tees, which, like I said, is mostly middle and some of the forward tees, which for the first round was perfect because, you know, we're not having to hit driver and lose our golf balls. You know, we're hitting irons off the tee and it was quite an enjoyable first round out there, playing from some of the forward tees and getting to kind of get to know some of the golf holes out there.
Yeah, okay, so I see that now on their scorecard stuff. That's neat. I like that. Like, that's that's a cool little combo that most places have. I see it stretches to over 7,000. It goes as short as, what am I looking at, 58? Oh, no, 53, excuse me. So there's a nice difference there for levels of play.
Yep.
How did the course play? Did it play firm and fast, being a Sandhills region course?
Yeah, I mean, balls just rolling everywhere. You know, once it gets on the ground, that's like the most exciting part, right, of Lynx golf. So it definitely played true to Link style, you know, get the ball on the ground and watch it run. And the greens, of course, were no different. They were rock hard, firm, quite different from Missouri. So I was so stoked when I got out there to play golf like that because I had never done it.
Now, you mentioned on that second day, a lot of wind, truly difficult conditions. I've played a lot of courses that are in very windy areas that are not set up for the wind. Do you feel like the course played fair in the wind? Are the fairways wide enough? Are there, you know, is there areas off the fairways to miss when the wind gets crazy?
Absolutely, man. I'm telling you, this course is so playable. And that's why I think these people locally love it so much. You know, these old guys that have a bag full of fairway woods and hybrids, they can just play it on the ground from tee to green, and there's really not a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, there's fairway bunkers, and there's some trouble, of course, but for the most part, it is really wide, really forgiving off the tee, extremely playable. There's not like a ton of big undulations. I mean, there's a lot of cool land movement, but it's nothing like insane. It's very walkable, very playable. Gosh, I'm just gushing thinking about this place again.
I gotta retract the statement. I said 53 was the shortest it plays. It actually plays 4688. That's the shortest from these green tees, which I'm assuming look like maybe some sort of junior tee or something like that.
Junior, on, Yeah, I don't know what that is. The green tee, I guess that would be a junior tee.
Yeah. Maybe they're just like markers in the fairway or something that you move it up to. Yeah, I mean, looking at the course, man, honestly, it's a place I think I hands down would make a trip to. I think it's so different from what people on the coasts play. You know, like people on the East Coast, they don't have this. Maybe people on the West Coast, like, you know, the Northwest and Bandon Dunes, they get something like this. But I think even people from middle of the country get something completely different because of the topography that's out there with these sandhills, which is just it's awesome.
Yeah, the sand changes the game. You know, the turf is just so much different. I've never played golf on fescue grass, and this is all fescue, so it was just delightful.
So now, first time through that first day, regardless if it was nice or if it, you know, was windy, whatever, on the first time through, without even seeing the course before, you think the course is fair?
Absolutely. I mean, it helped that I was absolutely striping it my first round. I shot 39 on my first nine holes, which
Sick.
Is great for me. So I was grinning from ear to ear. But of course, like I said, I was striping it. Now my playing partner, he had his struggles on our first time around. But that was mostly due to him not being able to get out of bunkers. So it's very fair, very playable.
Did you guys feel like the more that you played it, the more you learned it, and the better you played as the trip progressed?
I wouldn't say I played any better, but I definitely started to understand some of the strategy. It can be very strategic for the better players. Once you kind of realize what's going on and what the architect's trying to, some of the questions he's trying to ask, it's the type of course you could play forever and probably not figure out, you know, the perfect way to play it. And there is really no one way to play it, obviously, but almost the more you play it, the more perplexed you get, you know?
Yeah. So sometimes ignorance is bliss the first time through.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think I played so well. Cause you don't know the trouble. So you just hit it anywhere.
So anytime I go to a new course, like one of my, you know, determining factors, I try not to base it on if I play well, but, you know, like I'm human, right? So if I play well at a place, the place might suck, but I'm like, oh, I love that course. You know, I shot 77. I love it. Or I shot 86. Like, I hate that place. It sucks. After playing it, thinking back, you know, being home for a while from that trip, could you go back and play the holes in your head? You know, could you rewind them in your mind?
Absolutely.
So they're that distinctive?
Yeah, but I'm also, I've kind of got that memory too. I there's not a whole lot of golf holes that I can't recall, which is
gotcha.
not true for everybody, but definitely true for me. I've got a pretty good brain when it comes to like visual imagery.
Any holes that really stood out to you? You know, that you were just like, man, like this hole here is just it. I love it.
Honestly, there was four that I could probably point to that were like pretty stunning. And I guess what makes them cool for me is just the strategy of them. I thought, you know, when I was there, I kind of had it figured out, you know, well, I'll just hit iron off of this short par four. But it's like, let's see here. Like, so number 15 is a fairly short par four. From the middle tees, it's 300 yards. I hit four iron most of the time I was there and had a short iron in. But the longer I thought about that golf hole and the more I kind of look at it going back, the play is to get it as close to the green and as far left as possible to take out some of the bunkers that surround it. It's a really shallow green, so you want to be kind of off to the side of it so you're not dealing with bunkers at all. And it's just little stuff like that. I mean, it's little things that you don't think about while you're out there. You just kind of hit it and go. Then when you take a step back, it's pretty mind-boggling, kind of some of the options that this place gives you.
And I love that, honestly. You know, I love a course that seems almost straightforward, but then once you start to think about it, like you mentioned, you see what the architect wanted. And, you know, I'm looking at that hole right now. And actually, if people go to their website, you know, it's just Play Wild Horse. golfpodcast.com. They have a great YouTube flyover of all 18 holes. And I'm the type of person, like, if I'm taking a trip like this, I'd be on this website, you know, probably for a week straight before I leave, trying to look at every hole and get an idea of how I'm going to play it, you know, like pre-set up my strategy.
Yep, that was me. That was me a week out for sure.
So what, I mean, it might not be one, obviously, but what favorite memories do you have from playing out there?
It actually is one, and you're going to trip on this. I didn't want to tell you in the pregame show here before we got on the recording, but on the second day, it's howling wind. It's our first round. We're walking. I believe we played the back nine first that day. We had just finished 15. That hole I was just talking about. We were standing on 16 tee. We were standing on 16 tee, and three golf carts roll up. In the golf cart is Josh Mahar, the course superintendent, Dan Proctor, the golf course architect, and then the other golf cart had some guy with a big fancy camera, probably some, you know, golf media, taking cool shots and getting a tour from the course architect and from the course superintendent. So they roll up, all three of these people, and once I realize that I'm talking to Josh Mahar, the superintendent, and Dan Proctor, the golf course architect, and I kind of knew who Dan Proctor was and kind
sure.
of his. I mean, he's a big time architect in the,
he's a big
in
deal.
The golf landscape. Kind of a big deal. So I am just crapping myself. Like, this is unbelievable. Dan's got his dog with him. I just couldn't believe it. And then we're kind of just shooting the shit, and we got a local guy in our group with us. It's just me and my drummer and this local guy kind of shooting the shit. They kind of start conversation amongst themselves, and I tee up my ball and absolutely send this 5-wood just a mile. And everyone sitting in the golf cart is just like, wow, you, you must do good under pressure. Something silly like that. But it was that moment right there. I mean, I don't think I hit another good golf shot the rest of that round, just because I just had this sheet eating grin on my face. I was so stoked that we had that experience and just got to just meet those people. It was super, super cool. And nothing else that I experienced out there came close to that.
I mean, that's sick. And you don't even need to hit another good one, because in their mind, you know, like, they might go on a podcast and be like, yeah, we're out there shooting promotional videos and stuff, and this dude steps up with a 5-wood and just cracks one a mile. I've never seen a shot like that before. Like, I wish we had it for our website.
It was sweet. Yeah, I will say I outdrove the two boys I was playing with, and they both hit drivers. So that was fun.
Nice, nice. All right, so to kind of wrap that up about Wild Horse, if someone came to you and they said, Austin, I'm thinking about going out here, you know, should I, shouldn't I? Obviously, the answer is you should. But what kind of key points do you think separate this course from others that make it a worthwhile trip for people?
I mean, it's obviously a world-class golf course. That in itself is reason to go. But to me, the price point, like how affordable it is, not only to stay in Gothenburg, but to play the golf course. Like, we played four rounds for under $200.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which you just can't find from a golf course that is consistently going to be on, you know, some of the top course lists in the country. That is just, you're not going to find that anywhere else, you know, that kind of deal.
Super cool. Well, Austin, look, I can't thank you enough, man. You're the first episode of my course, you know, which is this little sub-series of Leave the Pin that we're doing. People, follow him on College Street Glass. And dude, honestly, like, you do great work, too, in your professional career, because I see some of the, you know, the work that you do and put out there. I'm like, damn, you know. Like, I wish I had a guy like that that lived near me that was so down to earth, played golf, trustworthy, cool, and does just some amazing work out there.
Yeah. I post a lot of my custom shower glass stuff on Instagram. I'm sure that's what you're talking about
there. Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, some
of them are sick. That stuff's pretty cool. Yeah.
And hey, if you're into music and into, you know, guitar playing, check out some of his reels that he's got on Instagram. That's at College Street Glass. Austin, cannot thank you enough, my man.
Hey, Dan, absolute pleasure. I was screaming when you reached out, so I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, man, been a fan a long time, so thanks again.
Awesome, appreciate it. All right, people, so either get busy golfing or get busy dying.